This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, here we are. It's Wednesday. No, what is it? Is it Wednesday? It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
I can't keep track of the dang days, man. I'm telling you.
Actually, Friday. Because
it's a Friday in a normal game week.
So it's Friday today. Tomorrow you travel to New England with the team. And then tomorrow you travel with the team.
Thursday we do the show together. I'm there. You're here.
Thursday you'll be there. I'll be here. And it'll be game day. Boom!
I honestly am just so out of sorts with these. Doesn't it seem like the last 3 weeks?
It seems like Halloween was like last week. Thanksgiving was a walk. Like, didn't even happen to me. And here we are. Because yesterday I was like, my weekend was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, you were late.
I was late. I was in a bad way, folks. Thanks for hanging in there with Brownie yesterday without me. I was watching, by the way. Good show.
Thank you.
Lots of guests. Very exciting. But I was in a bad, way, bro.
You're in a bad place.
I was in a bad place. I'm glad to be back. I am loving
good to
my,
have you back.
I am loving my job today because it was not good to be at home.
All right.
Being me for the first time in a long time.
First time in a long time. It wasn't good to be me.
It was not good to be me.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Usually it's a pretty good deal to be me. Last 3 days was not good to be me.
Okay.
I am so glad to be back. And on a Friday of a game week, being at a Tuesday.
At that.
Where the holidays have been an absolute blender of a season.
Hey, man,
here.
They can wear you out.
Oh, my gosh.
They can wear you
where
out.
Where are we? It's week 13. Brownie, we like fell off a cliff after week one, and here we are at week 13.
It moves along pretty quickly.
Whew.
There's no question about it. Bills are outside practicing. They're almost done, actually. And we know two players are not participating, those being Von Miller and Deion Dawkins, two players who are kind of important to Buffalo's overall equation every week at two of the more important positions. Premium positions, in fact, you know, top pass rusher, top pass protector, both of them not look. I mean, we already know Von Miller's out this week. That was already said by Coach McDermott early in the week. And Deion Dawkins is, at the very least, a question mark with his ankle injury that forced him out around halftime last week. So it could be another week of David Quessenberry at left tackle. And with Matthew Judon wrecking games this year with 13 sacks on the season, they're going to need to have a plan for him, and Coach McDermott said as much today.
Right. This is one of those games. The Patriots, from a million miles away, you think, wow, the Bills are a much better team. All the stats tell you that. The win-loss record tells you that. Even the eye test kind of tells you that. But this is one of those division games where you just never feel like you can run off and leave the other team. And you get into this game, and particularly with the given the way the Bills have played in the last month, you know, where they lost to the Vikings in a bitter loss that you kind of stumbled. The Jets played the best game they've played all year and beat them. And you feel like the Bills could go into this game and mistake their way into a loss very easily. Mm. And the Patriots got to be feeling the way Bills fans felt for a long time during the drought years, where you go in and you think, you know what, we got a puncher's chance here, and if we just – a couple of things happen, you know what I mean?
Doesn't it sound so silly being on this side of it, though?
It does.
But it could happen.
But it could happen.
Yeah.
And you just never – these division games, you just never feel all that confident in. You know, particularly in this team, this coach – This was a playoff team a year ago. They're not having that great a year thus far. They're, you know, a 500 ball club. But that means they win as much as they lose. And with the Bills, you know, the one or two turnovers against the Bills, and man, you're in that dogfight and you end up, you know, fumbling a quarterback sneak and you lose a game like this.
Mm-hmm.
On a weekend when the Chiefs are playing a team that could beat them, when the Dolphins are playing a tough team on the road that could beat them, and you could really gain some ground in the division and in the conference. This is a big game.
Well,
it's an absolutely gigantic game.
The next 3 weeks are going to largely determine the Bills' division chances of winning the division for a third consecutive
That's
season.
Right.
These
That's
three
right.
games are going to pretty much spell it out as they play the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Dolphins in succession. This week away, the next 2 weeks at home after that, and where they sit.
Patriots, the Jets, and the Dolphins, yeah.
Coming out of that Dolphins game, December 17th or 18th, we still don't know the date of that game. We'll probably know Tuesday next week. That will pretty much paint the picture for what Buffalo will be looking at, because tiebreakers are not in Buffalo's favor in their own division right now. They are in the conference against the other division leaders.
Right.
Because they have wins over Tennessee, Baltimore, and Kansas City. But they did not beat the Jets. They did not beat the Dolphins. They hold no divisional tiebreakers whatsoever right now, sitting at 0-2.
Right.
So that's the issue that they have to begin fixing on Thursday night.
The team they're chasing, as it turns out, with this identical record, is the Dolphins, because they lost the head-to-head in the earlier loss. The Dolphins go 49ers, at the 49ers, then they go at the Chargers, then they're at Buffalo. So the Dolphins are in an equally precarious situation right now. They got a tough, tough stretch coming up. The Niners, Chargers, Bills, all on the road. So as much as the next 3 weeks are going to tell you what the Bills are going to do in the division this year, it's the exact same thing for the Dolphins. And that means in 3 weeks, if both those teams hold serve, the Bills hosting the Dolphins is a monumental game.
Mm-hmm.
Monumental.
Which is why many people see it getting flexed to prime time.
That's why it's not even on the – it's not even scheduled on the schedule that the league put out. It's TBD. They didn't even give a time and date. They know how big that game could loom. It's like they knew all along. Which is
what
why,
did they know that we did not know?
They knew it was going to be 186 degrees on the Bills' sidelines in week, what was it, week three. Swines.
You've got them as veritable geniuses. Yeah, I got to tell you, like, I think all you have to do against this Patriots team, you got to just get up on them early, because they are not a team that comes from behind and wins football games. They are unable to do that. They've also only scored 25 points in the first quarter this season, Steve.
I know.
25 points in the first quarter. Steve, last week against the Vikings was their first quarter touchdown in week 12.
Yeah, all right. But here's the thing. Notoriously now, if you notice, the Bills are just the opposite of that defensively. You can make hay on them a little bit early in games, but as the game wears on, they put the screws to you, and it comes tougher and tougher to move the football on them, because Leslie Frazier and all those guys on that side of the ball start to hone in on what you're doing offensively, and they start to get better. So it's, you know, there's a little bit of that going on too. So don't think you're going to and Matthew Judon and all those guys on that side of the ball for the Patriots are playing really good. They're tough to score on, bro. They got a good – that's the way it's always been. They get in your head. They do think – you know, like I said, you know, they film your defensive signals. They steal a copy of your game plan. They pirate your defensive signals. They do all that stuff to try and get ahead of you, and they make it tough. They're always in the perfect call on defense. They're always running the exact same – the right play on offense. That's hard to defend, hard to beat.
Fine. But the defense is not the issue. And I'm going to say this. Since 2020, when Diggs got here, the Patriots have had a number one corner. It was either Stephon Gilmore or J.C. Jackson. And Diggs ate them for lunch.
Oh, my gosh. It was a bad day when they lost their number one corner.
New England doesn't have one right now.
Well, you say that.
They're talking about Jonathan Jones, the seventh-year player. Look, he's had a nice career. He's kind of risen through the ranks on that New England roster. He was just a special teams guy as a young player. Then he was like their main nickel guy the last couple of years. And now they got him playing outside, and he's having a nice season. But he's not in Stephon Gilmore's category. He's not even in J.C. Jackson's category. I'm sure, don't get me wrong, I'm sure Belichick's going to have a plan for Diggs, and how to handle them, which means it's very important for the other guys in the receiving core to step up and make some plays. And I'm putting my money on Dawson Knox this week because for my money, I don't think Kyle Duggar, Adrian Phillips, or anybody else can cover him one-on-one.
Last year, it was Isaiah McKenzie.
And remember, I think he could make some hay this week.
This was the game. Isaiah McKenzie had 11 catches on 12 targets.
125 yards.
Single-handedly roasted the Patriots. And then Josh, you know, every so often Josh would bust loose and run one that would get a first down and crush him. And he did that on like three occasions last year in New England. I remember that was the year, that was the game after the win game here in Buffalo where they couldn't get off the field defensively, couldn't score points offensively in a 40-mile-an-hour gusts. And then they went into New England, and they never punted against them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it from a million miles away, and you think, I don't know. The Patriots don't look any better than they did a year ago. They look a little different. Judon's playing way better at this point of the season than he did last year. Last year he got off to the hot start like he does this year, but now it seems as he's sustaining it throughout the rest of the season. Last year he fell off a cliff somewhere. He disappeared for like six or seven games at the end of the season last year and wasn't a factor at all. That doesn't seem to be the case this year. So they're a little different in that respect. Their offensive line I don't think is as good as it was a year ago. Their running game, statistically, although everybody says they run the ball, they're not running it that good. But man, oh man, they just going up there playing them in that building. You just got everything stacked against you.
Yeah, but their offense is just. I know everybody saw them on Thanksgiving night last week, and they put up 26 points. They were in the game at the end, just couldn't get it done in the fourth quarter.
Who'd they play?
Minnesota. It's the worst passing defense in football.
Yeah.
32nd in the league. They're like, Mac Jones, career high, 382 passing yards. Yeah, you did it against the worst pass defense in football. The worst.
This is an absolute huge – this is the biggest game of the year so far, meaningfully. Because of the way the schedule and the one wins and losses have fallen. Absolutely the biggest win, biggest game of the schedule. It's enormous. So we'll see if they can rise up and get it done. They got the Patriots, the Jets, and the Dolphins. 1, 2, and 3.
Get her done.
And you've got the Patriots game is always a revenge game for Bills fans. The Jets game is a revenge game this year for the first loss. The Miami game is a must win because of the division, because they're at the top of the division.
Got to split.
You got to get it.
Everybody knows what's got to happen here.
Yeah. This is huge.
This is where the rubber meets the road
now. It
is.
And I'll say this. Von Miller notwithstanding, Deion Dawkins, it's not a long-term injury, but it's a Thursday to Thursday. It's a weird scheduling thing. Don't know if he's going to get back. Injury-wise, there should be no excuse. You should be good to go against this team. Certainly Von is a huge void. But they didn't know they were going to have Von Miller this year. That was a cherry on the cake of this defense. You drafted A.J. Epinesa, you drafted Greg Rousseau, you drafted Boogie Basham, you drafted Ed Oliver for games like this. And they're veterans now. They're not young. They're young, but they're veteran players with a veteran in their ear in Von Miller who's telling them how it should be done. They should show up. And Tremaine Edmonds is back in the lineup.
Yeah,
Tre'Davious White's going to take some reps. I don't know if he'll play the whole game or whatever.
Coach McDermott, and you know, we should probably get to some of these practice updates, which is brought to you by LECOM, your Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine. As Steve mentioned, Von Miller not practicing today, out for this week's game. Deion Dawkins not practicing today. He has not practiced at all this week, Sunday, Monday, or today. And On the good side of the ledger, though, Tremaine Edmonds, Greg Rousseau, A.J. Epenesa, Mitch Morse, all full participants in practice yesterday. The hope is that that continues today. There are still some players battling illness. We'll get the updates. But half of those eight players that could not practice on Sunday did practice yesterday. We'll see how the remaining four players who are out sick fare today.
Quentin Morse is the only one that's still out ill.
Yeah, he's the one that's really battling something. Probably fighting something you're dealing with.
Oh, my gosh. Bless his
heart.
And
then, you know, basically we'll have to see what the designations are a little bit later today. Incidentally, this week's game sponsor, also LECOM. LECOM, we make doctors. We'll go around the NFL now, presented by Kaleida Health, the official healthcare system of the Buffalo Bills. And, Steve, it was a snooze fest on Monday Night Football.
I watched it.
Woo-wee!
I watched it. I kind of hung in there.
Colts, Steelers, you are a diehard, man.
It was
Benny Snell with the go-ahead touchdown, and then the Colts, they're getting raked over the coals because they're saying Jeff Saturday mismanaged the clock. He didn't mismanage the clock. They didn't make enough plays. You got to get the first down. Yeah, then talk to me about the clock.
Yeah, I mean, it was
fourth
irrelevant.
Fourth and three.
And I'll say this, too. At the end of that game, that was irrelevant, the timeouts, because what they were probably doing, too, was making sure that the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't have enough time to do anything once they scored. And they were trying to score with as little time as possible, and they had timeouts. And it's like, if we got timeouts, we're going to have to score anyway. I didn't have a problem so much with the timeouts. They just couldn't make a play.
Yeah.
They could not make a play. I mean, they got Matt Ryan on a 3rd and 17, getting 15 of it with his legs. And, I mean, it was like watching a sundial try and move. That guy, it took forever for people to cover ground in that game. He couldn't get there. They couldn't get the ball on fourth down, throwing it up for grabs. Matt Ryan is really used up.
Wow, their line is awful.
Their line is really struggling against a Steelers team that was, you know, trying to get some things done, but it was a rough football game, no question about it. Kenny Pickett showed me some stuff last night.
Oh, they're going to be all right with him.
Pickens,
going forward.
I do too. Pickens. For as much as he wants the football, he had a couple of drops last night that were puzzling and a little bit troubling. Some key drops last night. Not easy catches, but if he makes those catches, nobody even looks twice at him like, oh, well, that was a tough catch. It wouldn't have been like that.
Yeah,
they weren't easy, but you got to catch them. And he had a couple of them. Those are plays that make a huge difference in a game long term. And Pickens was – I thought Pickens was very good last night, much better than he was here in Buffalo in week two or whatever it was when they played. I was impressed with Pickens last night. But they've got to be, you know, the Bills played him in week five, and he was much better this game last night than he was then, and he didn't get enough help from guys like Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
This should have been a walk-off for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it wasn't. It wasn't.
The Browns, not to anyone's surprise, they're going to start Deshaun Watson this week now that he's been fully activated. And they've also waived quarterback Josh Dobbs, so there's that. And then the Chiefs, who are always seemingly adding players as the season wears on, they sign Melvin Gordon after he was cut by the Broncos. So, from what I've heard through the grapevine, Melvin Gordon wanted out of there because he can't stand Russell Wilson and wasn't shy about some comments that he made in the Broncos locker room. And the Broncos are inexorably tied to Russell Wilson with a $250 million contract. So they move Melvin Gordon out of the locker room. And now he's on your division rival, the Chiefs. They have like seven running backs in Kansas City. They got Isaiah Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They got McKinnon.
I just added Pacheco to my fantasy team.
Just now. That's a good pickup.
I thought so.
It's a good pickup.
They've got, you're right.
And they have a cornucopia of running backs. Now, Melvin Gordon, is the guy even going to dress?
Andy Reid is...
He never has enough toys.
An excellent play caller. He's a creative, a really creative offensive guy. I love how he handles games like that and gets the ball to guys who can do something with it. Now, he also is a little greedy in grabbing guys who can do something with it.
He's like the toy hog kid at Christmas. He doesn't share with anybody.
That's mine. Exactly. And I get it. And also, the Chiefs do have one other thing going for them that kind of flies under the radar because it's not a week-to-week situation. Andy Reid, and I know that Eric Bieniemy is starting to call plays for him, but Andy Reid is the guy offensively in Kansas City. Kansas City's not going to lose their offensive guru play caller to be head coach of the Giants or to be head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles or to, you know what I'm saying? That's a problem for a lot of coaching staffs. Where you've got this guy who's the guy, like Matt Eberflus goes to Chicago from the Indianapolis Colts as their defensive guy. Now he's a head coach of Chicago. You lose guys. The Chiefs aren't losing Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And that's something that's has flown under the radar for them.
Well, I think that's why a lot of the owners in this league lean toward offense. And when it comes to hiring a head coach, because they don't want to lose the offensive play caller to a promotion and a head coaching post somewhere else.
Particularly, I mean, we've all seen here in Buffalo, how hard is it to find a quarterback? Yeah. If you get a quarterback, the last thing you want to do is sabotage him with some guy who doesn't know what he's doing offensively.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I was surprised, and I know in Tampa Bay they've got an unusual situation with Byron Leftwich, former quarterback, high draft pick. Now he's the quarterback coach, and he's got Tom Brady. But I think Brady deserves as much a credit for how the play calling goes and the relationship there with Byron Leftwich.
Yeah,
that's a little different animal. But they could lose Byron Leftwich, and they got Brady still. There's that kind of dynamic going on. Look what happened in New Orleans. Their offensive guy was Sean Payton,
right?
And all of a sudden, a
lot of success.
They stink.
Well, Drew Brees retiring didn't help either.
Sean Payton had Jameis Winston playing as good as any quarterback in the league up until the time he got hurt last year, in his last year there.
I'll give you that.
And now he's gone, and now Jameis Winston can't even get on the field.
Ahead of the red rifle.
You've got to make sure you got these guys. And Buffalo has not missed a beat in transitioning to Ken Dorsey.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a little different, and there are times when you're like, there were people calling for Brian Daboll's head last year. Remember that? They were 7-6.
Yep.
People were like, he can't. You got to have that guy. Mm-hmm. And if you have him as your head coach, it's just one layer of security you've got in that play caller that nobody else has, or a lot of teams don't.
One last note to make here around the NFL, Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show, where he is a weekly guy making an appearance. As we know, in the game on, what was that, Sunday night?
Ribs, yeah.
He had injured ribs, left the game. He's also dealing with a throwing thumb injury on his throwing hand. But it was the ribs that were the concern. And he said to Pat McAfee today, "I got good news with the scans, so I plan on playing this week." So... there you go.
I wonder if he plans on practicing this week.
Well,
we'll
find out tomorrow.
One of the issues with Green Bay is lack of familiarity with some of the guys he's throwing to. Not Cobb so much.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I think the more reps he goes through with those guys, I think the better off he's going to be. He was, you know, you can tell we're looking at highlight. He was hurting during that game.
Bruised ribs, probably. He got whacked hard. Maybe some rib cartilage issues. Who knows? But looks like he feels like he's going to be well enough to play this week. I mean, their season's on the brink. They're not going to the playoffs anyway. I'd be after this week, if they don't win, start Jordan Love the rest of the way. You got to find out about that guy.
Yeah, well, here's the problem.
Minnesota clinches the division with a win and a Detroit loss.
What do you do
this week?
What do you do with Aaron Rodgers, if you're the Green Bay Packers,
and you move, and he's hurt, not 100%. You want to find out about Jordan Love, so you do, and you find out, and you look at Jordan Love, and you're thinking, oh, I'm kind of liking it, right? At the end of this season, last, say, four games of the season, and you're looking at Jordan Love going, ah, that guy might be it. He might be our guy going forward. Now what do you do? You just signed Rodgers. You know his contract. Everybody knows his contract. Can you trade him?
$99 million in dead cap if you do.
What? That's a problem.
I mean, even if they wait until after June 1st and release him, the cap hit is still $75 million in 2023. And then the remaining 24 in 2024.
If you cut That's a him, problem.
If you trade him or cut him before that, it's
now
$99.7 million in dead cap. Not to mention the fact that you have Jordan Love already in the final year of his rookie deal coming up in 2023.
Did they pick that option up?
That comes in May for the fifth year, which would be a guaranteed $20 million for a guy who hasn't played enough yet that you don't know about if you want to keep him.
Do you think they don't know about him?
Well, maybe they do. Maybe they've seen enough in practice, but that's not the same thing as a game.
Yeah, I know, but do you think they feel like, you know what, he's good. He's like, because they, same thing with
maybe
Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe they do, I don't know.
Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. When Brett Favre left,
they knew. They felt they knew.
Right, and they were right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the interesting question.
Yeah.
What do they really know about Jordan Love? I mean, because they've had the guy for 3 years, 4 years now. And they've seen snippets in real game, but they've seen him every single day.
The only time they can get out of this thing is after next season, where it's reasonable, because then the cap hits only 24 and change. And that's going to be a pittance by the time you get to 2024 with where the salary cap's going to be at that point.
And I'll say this. Aaron Rodgers, even precluding this rib injury he's had and the thumb injury, and maybe it is his thumb injury, he has not looked right.
Yeah. Well, he said his thumb has been messed up since, what was it, week 4 or 5 or something? I think that's when he said knocked it.
He has not looked the same. And I don't know whether that's 38 years old or whether it's his thumb injury.
Yeah. Topic on the table for you today, Twitter question, which player who is expected to return against the Patriots this week do you think will have the biggest impact on the game? Got players that have been out of the lineup the last few weeks looking like they are going to make a return. So who makes the biggest impact in this all-important division tilt up in New England Thursday night? You can let us know at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, or you can hit us up on the tweet sheet at OneBillsLive. Steve and I step aside here. When we come back, we're going to bring you some of the comments from head coach Sean McDermott, most notably about the upcoming chess match with the Patriots in terms of X's and O's, and on Tre'Davious White's snap count. What might that look like on Thursday night? We'll get to that when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you here on a Tuesday as we are 2 days away from game day. And we're going to be waiting a while because they're not kicking off until 8:15 p.m. And, Steve, we wanted to pass along some of Coach McDermott's comments today as he addressed the media on what is the equivalent of a Friday in a normal game week. And, you know, naturally a lot of the questions surround the availability of some players. Last week we saw Tre'Davious White get 16 snaps in his first return to action, almost exactly a year to the day, 364 days to be exact, from the time he last set foot on a field in the regular season. Trey comes back, plays 16 snaps against Detroit. He's not targeted once in pass coverage by Jared Goff. Plays well. Coach McDermott was pretty pleased with the way he played, thought he played physical. Did you see him on the first snap? Go back and watch the tape on the first snap. He's lined up in the slot, and he ragdolls the guy. Guy tries to run at him and block him, and he kind of grabs him by the shoulder pads and throws him right on the ground.
Nice.
You know what we were saying in the summer?
I told
Trey
you.
Was yoked up.
Yeah, he was all yoked. He,
and he I'll might say be this too, the strongest he's ever been in his upper body.
He looks great. I mean, he's looked great for 6 months, right? Because, and I've been there. You get this knee injury and stuff, and all you do, you can't, like, run, you can't jump, you can't lift with your legs. So all you do is bench and do high pulls and lat pulls and bicep curls and tricep, you know, all that stuff. You work your upper body because you're waiting around for your leg to heal. Mm-hmm. You can't do any lower body work. And, yeah, it hangs out with you for a little bit after you start getting back on your feet. Because once you start running again, it's really difficult to do a lot of things that you could do when you weren't doing that. Because when you run, I mean, athletes will tell you this. If you don't run and all you do is lift, you get strong and you can do all this stuff. But when you, as soon as you start running, man, it's hard to put weight on.
Yeah.
It's hard to push more weight. It's hard to get stronger, all of that. Because running really, really sucks the energy out of your body.
So Coach was naturally asked today, after 16 reps last week, is the plan here to increase Tre'Davious White's rep count this week? Here's what Coach said.
Yeah, and whether it was a division opponent or not, Sal, we'd be trying to increase Trey's rep count. So we'll see where that goes as we move forward here.
So no definitive amount given, and sometimes the flow of the game can compromise how much, you know, you go in with a plan. Last week, for example, Coach said the plan was 15 to 20 reps, and he got 16 snaps. Basically, the first two drives by the Detroit offense, Trey was on the field, and that was it, done for the day. Where do we think the rep count goes this week? Do you think it doubles? You
probably,
think it's 30 to 40?
I imagine it'll go to halftime.
Oh, you think he plays a half?
Yeah, maybe. He was a couple of series, depending on how successful they are. And, you know, if they go three and out a bunch, it may extend it deeper into the game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how that goes, because, you know, it's like the preseason. It's hard to get a set number of snaps because all of a sudden you're three plays into a 10-play drive and your snap count's up. Then you walk off the field and the other guy comes in the middle of the series. It's kind of weird. I would say they'll do that. And once you get into like 20 snaps or 25 snaps, you're looking at half a game, you know, or thereabouts, depending on how the halves break up and the possessions. So, yeah. It may be that he goes, like, give me a hat till halftime, or let me come in the second half of the game, or something like that.
I think that would be harder to do. Right?
I agree. I would agree.
I mean, you'd still have warm-up time, you know, after halftime, but not nearly as much of a warm-up as you do before the game starts.
It's much more controlled leading up to those reps, yeah.
The other comment that we wanted to pass along to you from Coach McDermott this morning when he met the media was his message to the defensive line in the absence of Von Miller going into this game.
Yeah, I mean, just like it would be to anyone who has to step in, it's next man up. And, you know, Von was brought here for a reason. But we also drafted AJ and Boogie and Greg for a reason as well. So it's now is their time and their opportunity to step up and to go for it. And, you know, the foundation that they are or should be for us as we continue to move forward. And Von certainly being a piece of that is that foundation by those three is an important cornerstone of who we are and what we're trying to become as a defense and in a front in this case.
I think for the Bills, not having Von Miller is not going to be debilitating for this defense. And I think for this reason, the next 3 weeks, you're facing pocket quarterbacks. You've got Mac Jones, Mike White, Tua Tagovailoa. Guys that, for the most part, do not run. They can move if needed, but they don't make it a habit, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right.
Last week against Jared Goff, after Von Miller leaves the game, what happened in the second half when the guys on the back end were getting picked on? Coach Frazier starts dialing up the blitz calls. Here comes Matt Milano. Jared Goff gets skittish in the pocket, and their offense kind of struggles for a couple of series. I expect them to turn to that page again. Now, the circumstances might be a little bit different, because in that game last week, the Bills were down to three defensive ends. Shaq Lawson, Boogie Basham, and Mike Love. That's all they had.
Yeah, they were thin.
So they needed the linebackers to be a part of the blitz game, the pass rush, et cetera. And Matt Milano was the main player in that. Now, this week, you're going to probably have Greg Rousseau, A.J. Epenesa in the end rotation, and Tremaine Edmonds at linebacker with Milano again. Not to mention the fact that your defensive tackles are all healthy. Right. Did you hear Ed Oliver this week? So he was asked, hey, you know, you guys are down at the defensive end position, no Vaughn, you know, are you guys going to be able to hold it down? He goes, well, last I checked, all four defensive tackles are healthy. We can do it.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to say this. Yesterday, doing the show, I'm talking to senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe, Ben Volen. He said, hey, look, last week the offensive line did okay against Minnesota, one of the worst defenses in football. He goes, it's a major step up in competition this week. He goes, and all season long, he said, this offensive line for the Patriots has been an abomination of offensive football. So advantage Buffalo in this one when it comes to Patriots O-line, Bills D-line.
The hard part about
even it, without Von.
The hard part becomes this. There's two things. One, you think you've got the advantage there defensive line-wise against their offensive line talent-wise and schematically and the way they've been playing up to this year. The question is, how much of an advantage is it going to be when they actually get in there and bang heads? And two, what do the Patriots anticipate their problems being? Are they looking at this the same way other people are, like you and I and Ben Volin? Do they see this as a mismatch themselves? And if they do, what's their counter? They say, listen, we're not going to be able to hold up on these guys if we have to drop back every snap and go five-step drop or go out of shotgun, go empty. We're not going to hold up 5-on-4. What's their plan going to be? What have they done to counteract that in other games? And you have to have a plan for that. And then the chess match begins, because there's no magic elixir for winning a football game of that nature. Certainly, if you can get constant pressure with only four guys rushing and it's quick, that's a huge problem for any offense. But there are things you can do to get rid of the ball fast. Can the Bills counteract that with their secondary and their linebackers and other things that they can do? We'll see. But that's where the chess match is. How do the Patriots see that mismatch, if it isn't such a mismatch, if it turns out to be? What's their plan, and can you have a counter for it?
Yeah.
And then, once that all takes place, okay, what's their adjustment? What's their plan? Because they're not going to come in there thinking, hoping this works and not do anything else. What's their plan B? It becomes a game of adjustments. We've seen it a million times, you know, all through the Sean McDermott era and Leslie Frazier era. You got to adjust to it and have an answer for it, because all too often, you know, we saw it last year, even in the playoff game where the Bills were perfect offensively. Early in that game, the Patriots got down there, and until the Micah Hyde interception that was on a guy that was open for a second, the Patriots were moving the football. So we'll see. But,
let's not forget this, though, okay? The Bills are getting some horses back here. I mean, Greg Rousseau, first-round pick. Tremaine Edmonds, first-round pick. And let's not forget this. Both games against the Patriots last year, no Tre'Davious White. He had already torn his ACL before the Bills even played the Patriots in either of the two games last year. That's three first-rounders, bro, that are in the lineup on defense.
They're getting
this week
some guys with some traits back in the lineup. They're getting
no
some
Trey White in the Patriots games last year.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Boogie Basham is a second-round pick, too. They've got some guys with some traits, and they've got some bigger guys down inside than they had last year. Harrison Phillips isn't there anymore. Starlu Tulele is not there anymore.
Vernon Butler.
Right. I mean, so now
you've got better guys in there.
You got Tim Settle, you got Daquan Jones, you got Ed Oliver, and you've got the big guy.
Big Phil.
Yeah.
Jordan Phillips.
That's a better crew down inside.
That's a wrecking crew, bro.
Yeah. They are better down inside, and I think it's going to make it more difficult for the Patriots to run, just hand it off and run it. We'll see. But that's where I think this game is. this week. I think it's that matchup and what Mac Jones can do against it with those guys on the outside. It's crucial.
Let's take a quick phone call at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We go to Judy in Buffalo. Judy, what do you got for us? Hold on, let me pull you up here. Let me try again. What do you got for us, Judy? You're on One Bills Live.
You know, I'm afraid this is deja vu all over again. The names may be different, but really, the whole personnel have not changed that much on this team. And we are facing at least four tough games coming up. I hope that they're up to it. I hope that they can get Gabe Davis to the point where he was last year, because there's something fundamentally missing on this team. I can't go into any game and really feel positive about it anymore. I'm just hoping. Right now, our record is pretty good, but as I say, we could lose three games easily coming up, and I don't know where that puts us in the playoffs.
Oh, it's over then.
Yeah, the reason I feel about it like you do, Judy, is that when the Bills are losing games or struggling, it's they can't get it together. I don't think
beat themselves.
They've never. I don't see any team on their schedule, even the Bengals, the Dolphins. None of these teams. If the Bills play their best, they are to me unbeatable. They are the best team in the league. They are the Super Bowl favorites we saw in the preseason. They're the team that everybody was talking about. They're the team that went into the Thursday night opener and hung 31 on the Rams and 41 in week two. That's that team. They're just playing. They're just smoking when they're on hitting on all cylinders. But they're their own worst enemies. They're their own worst enemies. They turn the football over more than anybody in the league, or at least as much as
they do it in the red zones.
And they do it in the time when they need to not do it. They've not only taken points off the boards, they've taken them away from themselves and given their opponents opportunities. That's a crusher. And that gives you this idea that, man, any team out there could take advantage of what the Bills do to themselves and beat them. And that's a problem getting on board with the Super Bowl favorites that we all thought that they were going to be, that they were this coming into the season. That really sabotages your passion and your optimism for how these games could go. But we all know, I still think that when this team hits on all cylinders and plays their football, ain't nobody staying with them. The problem is we don't see it enough. We don't see them do it enough because they shoot themselves in the foot. You know, they fumble the ball away and they fumble the game away too often or too much to get out in front. I mean, they're good. They beat the Packers by 10. They beat the Browns by 8. You know, they beat the Lions by 3, all in games where they turn the football over too much. You know, and then the two losses, the Jets and the Vikings, you know, the Vikings, oh my gosh, you know, they had 3 game-stopping plays that all went catastrophically the other way. Stopping game-stopping plays, game winners. Make the play, you win the game, it's over. 3 times in the Minnesota game, they blew it.
But they have another red zone turnover last week. Seven of Josh Allen's last 9 turnovers have been in the red zone. People are like, hey, what's going on in the red zone? Why aren't they they're turning the ball over.
That's why I feel like Judy does. It's hard to get on board with, hey, this is going to – let's go, when you don't know if your team's going to, you know, not stumble themselves.
Hey, newsflash. You sign up to be a sports fan, there are no guarantees. There just aren't. Especially in this league.
Yeah, just
– in this league where the margins are as narrow as they are in any professional sport, there are no guarantees.
This team is right here. Just give me a game where the Bills play their best football, and I'll live with the result because I know what it's going
to
be.
Yeah. We have to break here. More of your phone calls next on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Oh, snap. Snapdragon apples are now available. Fuel your game day adventures with Snapdragon apples, now available at Wegmans. Snapdragon apples, the official apple of your Buffalo Bills. I had one with lunch yesterday. They're snappy. We got to get to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Which player who is expected to return against the Patriots Thursday night for the Bills will have the biggest impact in the game? Give us your pick. We go to the phones, and Rich in Alden leads us off. What do you got for us, Rich?
Hi, Rich Grabowski. Just wondering, when we're at a goal line situation, why can't we do like the old fridge, where we bring in maybe Ed Oliver, and he does either a play running back, or you fake it to him, and Allen goes the other way or something like that. Something to draw their attention off.
Rich, I agree with you. I think it's a great idea. I've long been lobbying, and Brownie will attest to this, that they should put Justin Zimmer in the game. He's got some speed.
Problem is, he's in Miami.
Now he's with the Miami Dolphins because they just signed him off our practice squad.
Yep. They lost Emmanuel Ogba for the year to a season-ending injury, and they signed him to replace him in the roster.
So Justin Zimmer was a guy who I thought was a candidate for that. He could run. He's the guy that in 2020 punched the ball out of Cam Newton's arms in the last 2 minutes of the Patriots game to win the game for the Bills. That defensive line, he was a try-hard, overachiever kind of guy, a little undersized for a defensive tackle, but he's a little bit more like the guy Picard in Baltimore, big 300-pound guy who's got some athleticism, who can catch, who can run, who can block. There's a multitude of things because he's so big. And if you put him in a different spot where all of a sudden now he's matched up on a 235-pound linebacker or a corner or a safety, he wins the physical battle. In a red zone situation, the one thing you worry about is is he confident in holding the football and not fumbling it? That's a problem, but that's for everybody, not just those guys. But I agree with you. I think it's an underused part of the game that goes overlooked. The bigger the guy is with the ball, the harder he is to stop in his momentum. That's why now on these quarterback sneaks, you've got teams lining two backs right behind the quarterback, snap it, and all three of those guys are in there, plus the fourth guy. And the more weight you have going in, the easier it is to push the pile forward for a yard or so. So, yeah, I'm with you. The problem is when you start handing the ball to people who aren't used to handling the ball, you get a lot more fumbles and problems with exchanges, and it's not that easy to do.
And with all the red zone turnovers this team has had, I don't see it happening.
Right.
So
it's a double-edged sword in that respect. But I get your point, and it's great. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. It's logical. And I would think that they probably have explored it. And the reason we haven't seen it is because they don't like the results of those explorations.
Let's go back to the phones and to John in Baltimore. What do you got for us, John?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of things. Why don't we call Cole Beasley or maybe Emmanuel Sanders? Just get the group together and just for one more run. I think, you know, the guys know the system and all that, but also, one more thing. I know the Patriots are wearing their throwback uniforms Thursday. I thought it would be so cool if the Bills had their throwback on at the same time. That look would be so awesome, you know, with the old helmets, the AFL helmets. I mean, I don't know. I think it would be pretty cool. But
I get you. Yeah, it'd kind of be cool to go back and see those two uniforms take each other on again. As for the other thing, signing Cole Beasley Cole Beasley's done. He's done with it. He was signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers earlier this year, lasted about 3 days, and decided he was done with it. So he doesn't want to play anymore, by his own words, not anything that I'm saying.
Yeah, he was out hunting last week with his kids.
So I get your idea, and that's kind of a little bit like why John Brown was brought back in. You bring guys in that you trust. And also who can get acclimated quicker, who've been in the system a little bit more. John Brown would be probably the most likely candidate. I don't know that they're – I mean, because all the other guys that the Bills are not part of the Bills' plan right now are playing. Like Zay Jones, you know, guys like that. And Isaiah Hodgins, you saw, he was on the field last night. You got guys like that around the league. But unfortunately, they weren't good enough to play here. They're playing someplace else. You know, it's a very small list of guys you could call in. John Brown was one of those guys on that list, and here he is. So you can bet that they're kicking the bushes looking for guys who they think can help them. And I don't think it has anything to do with they're not happy with the guys they got. I think they just want some depth.
Well, yeah. I mean, Kumerow, he's on IR. So he's out of the equation. So your four receivers every week, Tanner Gentry's been the call up the last couple of weeks, but his best value is probably on special teams. And so, yeah. I mean, John Brown could be up this week for a package of plays. I think it's unlikely because, you know, you want to kind of ramp him up, get him into game shape. You don't want him to go out there, run five routes, and pull a hammy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Then you don't have him for 4 weeks.
I think
that's what happened to Xavier Rhodes when he came here.
They want some guys who can come in, and they want him to be able to win physically, too. You know, that's why Isaiah McKenzie's out there. He can outrun a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
and he likes playing this team.
Yeah, and he wants to catch the ball, you know. So Khalil Shakir, who is a headsy player, kind of he's not as physically gifted speed-wise as McKenzie is. But he's a valuable commodity because he knows the offense, he can play, and he may be able to play different spots. So, you know, I think John Brown's here as a guy that, hey, listen, we need you to take – you know, 15, 20 plays this game to give us some a rest with Gabe Davis or a rest with, you know, Diggs or whoever it is. So, yeah, I think they're thin bodies that they know and can get acclimated quickly and can be help until, you know, Kumerow gets back.
Yeah, we shall see. But they are getting healthier, which is good. I know the injuries keep coming, but at least you're getting some people back this week, especially as you're starting this division stint here for the next 3 weeks. We'll take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls as we're asking you which player who is expected to return against the Patriots will have the biggest impact for Buffalo in the game Thursday night. We're back in a moment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health.
Hey there, people. It's a Tuesday, but we're 2 days away from game day. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. One Bills Live is the show. And with the Bills getting a little bit healthier, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, we're asking you which player who's expected to return Thursday night for the Bills will have the biggest impact in the game against the Patriots. Take your pick. You let us know. Maybe it's Greg Rousseau. Maybe it's Tremaine Edmonds. Hey, Tre'Davious White's getting more playing time. Maybe it's A.J. Epenesa. Maybe it's Mitch Morse at the center spot. You let us know at 803-0550. Let's go to the phones, and there is an open line for you there, so be sure to chime in if you want to. But we go, in the meantime, to Dave in Florida. What do you got for us, Dave? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. Doing good.
All right, listen. The guy to come back off injury is going to be Rousseau. Rousseau is the guy I want back, and I think he's going to do the job. But I have another question for you.
Okay.
Okay, now, Hines and Cook, the two, the one runs back to kicks, and the other one comes in and he's a running back.
Right.
Can either one of them be a Beasley? Either one of those two?
No, they can be in the slot. I mean, both of those guys have route running ability, Dave. Naheem Hines went to NC State as a receiver. He was recruited as a receiver there and played receiver his first year in college and then kind of transitioned to a do everything back for the Wolfpack in college. So he has route running experience. And he did a lot of that for the Colts, where he was before he got here via trade. And James Cook was one of the most polished route running backs in the entire draft class this year. So they are more than capable of doing it. You go watch James Cook's college tape. He's lining up outside the numbers and running routes.
Yeah.
So they are capable of doing that stuff. It's just a matter of how you incorporate them into the scope of the
passing. James Cook, I think, is still in the process of earning some trust. He's dropped some he's still dropping passes a little too much. He gets limited opportunities because in the limited opportunities, there's too high a ratio of uncertain ball handling, I think. Even in a small little shuffle pass he took the other day, it took him like three tries to grab the ball in Detroit. He dropped a nice little out route in Detroit that would have given him a second and four instead of a second and ten. That kind of stuff. Certainly he's got some ability, and I think Nyheim Hines is of the same kind of ilk, no question about it. Why they're not thrown in and incorporated more into the offense, it becomes a bigger question the more weeks that pass. In Cook's defense, or in his case, I think it's different than it is in Hines' case. Hines, I think Cook is still ahead of him in the pecking order. And Hines has also proven his worth in the kick return game and all of that stuff too on special teams. So he's kind of got a role. He's expanding on that side of the football rather than on offense. And I think the team is still trying to just do everything they can do to get James Cook on track and stay there without it being a little bit of a roller coaster as to how the play is going to turn out when they get him the ball or attempt to get him the ball. So I think that's where you're at. Hines is kind of killing it in what they've given him to do, but he's still, because of the way they do their culture, and I agree with it, he's got to earn it. And James Cook has got to unearn it because James Cook has been doing some things. So you can't, and I say, hey, put them both on the same time. Well, okay, fine. Who's coming off? You know? And who's not getting the ball because those two guys are on the field?
Yeah, and I don't know how they're going to handle it this week. Last week against the Lions, 15 plays of empty backfield. And there was some production there. I mean, Josh was like 8 of 11 for 140 yards passing. He did get sacked twice on a couple of empty backfield snaps.
It makes it clear.
But what it does is it paints the picture for Josh better. So for a defense like the Patriots in particular, who are very good at disguising, it looks like a zone, all of a sudden it's man, or it looks like man, all of a sudden post-snap it's zone, whatever it is. When you empty the backfield, you spread that defense out and you force them to declare what they are playing. And so that helps Josh with the read after the snap of the football.
Yeah.
At the same time, you may not have your left tackle. So what are you doing personnel-wise there? Are you going to go more 12 traditional personnel, you know, to help the left tackle with an extra tight end? Or maybe you're going more 21 with Reggie Gilliam so you can chip the guy. You know, you're worried about Judon wrecking the game. And if you don't have your left tackle, you're even more concerned. So all of these are factors that are going to go in and impact the playing time of guys like Nyheim Hines and James Cook.
Yeah, you can see it too. And you're right. The fact that they went empty a ton last week may be a little tiny step in an evolution that they're headed towards. It may be something they want to expand more, or it may be something that was specific for the Lions as saying, how are they going to do this? And it may serve the same purpose against the Patriots. Now, the Patriots, to me, are a team that's going to have a plan for that. And I think for the Patriots, we've seen it. It's about making Josh uncomfortable and not letting him see what's going on out there. Because when Josh doesn't know when Josh can't read it, he's not going to throw it. Plus, the double edge of that is when Josh doesn't see it and he kind of extends the play and starts to run around back there, then they've got real problems because he'll either run it down their throat or nick them on a scramble play with Diggs running down or Isaiah McKenzie, and it becomes too much for the defensive secondary to handle. So I think for the Patriots, they want to get quick pressure and try and get him on the ground without having him pull the ball down and make him pay for it in the running game, just running off and leaving him. So it's a problem for them. But if the Bills go spread it out and he can get an inkling pre-snap of what they're doing, yeah, maybe they do more of that in this game.
Yeah.
particularly with Hines and Cook, depending on, you know, given the thinness they have at the depth of wide receiver, maybe they give themselves some slack in that area.
Especially if they don't think John Brown's ready to jump on the field this week after coming off the street.
It makes some sense.
Let's go to Harold in Rochester next. What do you got for us, Harold?
Yeah, I thought the player that is going to have the biggest impact on his return is going to be Tremaine Edmonds. I think not only bringing us that linebacker play that he brings to the team, but and I think A.J. Klein did great for us calling the plays, but calling the plays coming to a brand-new team or a team that you're new to this year has got to be really hard to do, and Tremaine's going to bring us a lot coming back to the field with that. I also want to know what Ed Oliver has to do this week to get some respect, because, you know, not only did he not get a turkey leg, but then I thought, well, Coach McDermott's going to give him a game ball. He doesn't get a game ball. And then yesterday I thought, well, at least Maddie will give him a Maddie Award, and she gives away the awards to other teams, and Ed can't even get one of those this week. So,
I know. It was outright blasphemy.
What does Ed Oliver have to do?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I'm with you, Harold. I'm with you. I mean, he was the best defensive player on the field in that game last week. Yeah. For both teams.
He was a game wrecker, and you're right. He's had his best year.
The last 2 weeks have been dominant.
He has had his best year as a Bill, no question. Now you can make the case too with Von Miller and Daquan Jones and Jordan Phillips and those guys. He should be playing his best with those guys around him. But he's gone beyond that, particularly on that Thanksgiving game. Forced fumble, fumble recovery, a safety, a near sack.
A sack for a safety.
Yeah, a sack for a safety, then another sack in the red
zone.
Two
tackles for a loss.
He's all over he was all over the joint. And then, you're right, I've heard of this about the turkey leg. I get it.
It's always about the offense. Always has been.
Yeah, they want, yeah. Now, if
they get all the credit.
Yeah. I mean, you can't imagine what a defender has to do to get that. But he was close. Had to be close.
Heck of a game. Hopefully it continues. Especially in the absence of Vaughn, because this guy can be that dominant if he wants to be. You know what I mean? There is that much talent there with Ed Oliver. So he can do that every week if he puts his mind to it. Especially with the guys lining up next to him. On the interior.
Yeah.
Jordan Phillips is taking two guys. You don't put two guys on Jordan Phillips, he's going to eat your quarterback for lunch.
Jordan Phillips has the ability to forklift offensive linemen right back into the quarterback's lap. And he does.
And Settle gets penetration. Daquan Jones is an anchor. I mean,
they've got
a crew in the middle.
They've got a really good crew down inside, particularly now that they're really healthy and they're starting to put weeks and weeks behind in between themselves and the injuries that they've got, you know, guys are 100%. So all that stuff goes into the recipe, and you're right. Ed Oliver is benefiting from it, and he's flourishing because of it.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike in Utica next. What do you got for us, Mike? Oh, hold on. Why is this not coming up? There we go. What do you got for us, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? I think the biggest impact this week coming back would be Tre'Davious White. I mean, you could play man coverage in the sky zone on the opposite side. You could do it with man zone. You got Poyer back there. I think we're going to be okay. I'm not really worried about Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, our backup had a great game.
Yeah.
Watson?
It was A.J. Klein.
A.J. Klein, yeah.
Yeah. Klein and Watson, Dotson, they both played well. I think with Tre'Davious coming back, I mean, he's an anchor. He's an all-pro, you know.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I get that.
Mike, you're right. I agree with you. If he comes back and plays, you know, 100% of the snaps, yes. I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't think – maybe he will. I mean, he probably physically – the doctors will probably tell you he could if he wanted to. Don't know if he's up to it that much, but 17 snaps or 16 snaps in one game, maybe he does feel like he can come back and say, okay, now I can really go. If he does play the whole game, yeah, I think he could be a difference maker because of his abilities, particularly if he plays at the high level we're used to seeing. So, yeah, I would agree with you. But I don't know that he's going to get 100% of the snaps.
Right. I mean, we were expecting his snap count to increase, but to think he's going to go from 16 snaps to a whole game, that might be a bit much. But you can get a half out of him. Coach Frazier can call a much different defensive – his play call list is much different with a guy like him on the field because he can just take care of one half of the field.
Not only this, too, but Poyer's going to be a week separated from his injury, too. He's going to be a week healthier. All of that. You know, Dane Jackson will be back to getting different matchups if Trey White's on the field. You know, Taron Johnson, same thing. I mean, this whole secondary, I mean, you're putting a guy in the rotation at the top. You're not adding depth with Tre'Davious White. You're adding a player. And that makes an enormous difference for all the guys down on Dane Jackson's day is going to change dramatically with Trey White on the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, his matchups, his responsibilities, his the pressure on him, his targets,
his help,
everything is going to be different. And that ripple effect, makes all the difference for these guys. So yeah, I mean, it's a good call to say Tre'Davious White, the question is it going to happen 100% or is it just going to be 50% or 30%?
Back to the phones and to Clarence in Buffalo. What do you got for us, Clarence?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Just two things I want to speak about, and that's in regards to the defense as a whole. Right now, I'm at the point where it doesn't matter which player comes in to have any impact. I think what we need to do now, our defense has to put it as a whole, play better as a unit, and also, on first and second down, take away the 5 to 7 yard pass plays that New England likes to run and put them further in the sticks because they're a better running team when they have short yardage than they do with long distance. So I just want to see what you think about that. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad approach. I wouldn't mind that. The Patriots, truthfully, have had a devil of a time converting third downs. I mean, over the past 4 weeks, they haven't been above 36% conversion rate. Last week, they were 3 for 10 against the Vikings, one of the worst defenses in football, and it's due in part to the abomination of an offensive line. They can't reset the line of scrimmage in the run game. Most of what Ramondre Stevenson has gotten for them, by most accounts, has been largely by himself. And it doesn't look like Damian Harris is going to play on Thursday after he suffered a thigh injury in the game last Thursday. And not for nothing, Damian Harris is a Bills killer. He's got 4 touchdowns in his last 2 games against Buffalo in the regular season.
Right.
And he's got at least 100 yards in both those games, too. So him not a part of the equation is a sizable loss for them.
Yeah.
If he can't go.
Yeah, and the Bills have already been really, really good on first and second down over the last, even in the games they haven't won against Minnesota, the games against the Jets, certainly the game against Detroit, going all the way back even before that. The Bills have been really good already on first and second down. The Browns game, the thing that is excruciating is they struggle getting them off the field on 3rd and 11, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 13. They're giving up plays that are a yard longer than that. They have struggled to get off the field on 3rd and long. They've been really good on 1st and 2nd down. But I get it too. You're right. The one thing the Patriots cannot do against this Bills defense is get behind the sticks. They can't get into a 2nd and 9. Or a 2nd and 12, or a 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 13, 3rd and 7 even. They've got to be in 3rd and 1 to 2, 2nd and 4 to 6, that kind of range. They've got to stay on schedule, I think, against this Bills defense. I think that's crucial for their offense. And I think for that reason, the Bills have got to continue to do what they've done. They've been really good on 1st and 2nd down. And if they can continue to do that, they're going to be fine because the Patriots have struggled. And you got to make them continue to struggle.
Yeah, and that's why I want them to jump on the Patriots early. As we said, the Patriots, 28th in the league in first quarter scoring. They have 25 points scored in the first quarter this season. It's 28th in the league. It's terrible. You jump on them early and force them to play catch-up. That's not what their offense is designed to do. They don't want – even now, in year two, it's pretty clear with new coordinator Matt Patricia, they do not want to overload Mac Jones with too many responsibilities. He's primarily a pocket guy, a rhythm player, not going to make any plays off script for you, or very rarely. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to think that the Bills are going to take some elements from their defensive game plan last week and attack Mac Jones the same way, particularly when they're rushing the passer, because you got a quarterback that really doesn't move all that much and doesn't extend plays with his legs. That's what Jared Goff is. Mac Jones is the same kind of player.
Right.
So use some of the things that worked last week, this week, against an offensive line that might be worse than the one you faced last week.
Right. You've got to make them play. First of all, you want them to beat you, try and beat you with something they don't do well. Secondly, take away what they do well, and, you know, or in reverse order. And you got to play your best. The Bills they're really good. This just in. They're really good. And if they don't make mistakes, it's a long road to beat this team on a given Sunday. They wear you out. Their defense just doesn't give up first downs. They're hard to move the football on. Their pass rush stays fresh throughout the game, and late in the game it gets harder and harder to drop back against them. And their offense keeps pressure on you all the time. So the Bills, if they can come into this game, not turn it over, take the easy completions, be efficient on offense. They don't have to be spectacular at all, but if they're efficient on offense, they're going to be tough for this Patriot team to beat. But that says the same for every team. But this Bills team, you could see them, and there are certain times in the Detroit game, there are certain times in the Cleveland game, even in some of the other games that they played of late, even the Minnesota game, they just strangle a team because they're just so good on both sides of the ball. If they don't give opportunities up, they're going to be in the driver's seat in this game. They're going to be in the driver's seat of this game.
Yeah, what has been the Patriots' formula for how many years? I mean, granted, with Brady, it was a little bit different. But since Brady's moved on, they try to win games by not making their own mistakes. They wait until you make one, and then they try to capitalize on it. It's harder for them to capitalize on them than it used to be when they had Brady. But they still take that approach. And sometimes they benefit. I mean, when they played Sam Ehlinger, who started at quarterback for the Colts, they sacked him 9 times. He had 2 picks, and they win the game going away. Right. I mean, it's not even close. The problem is there have been very few games this season where the Patriots have faced above-average to elite quarterback play. Last week, they played above-average quarterback in Kirk Cousins, and he hung 33 on him. Back earlier in the season when they played Baltimore, Lamar Jackson crushed him. He had 4 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. I mean, when they play elite quarterbacks, they fold like a cheap tent. So I'm optimistic going into this thing, but Bills have to stop shooting themselves in the foot with turnovers and they'll be fine.
You got to be optimistic. The Patriots are 6-5. We haven't seen a 6-5 Patriot team for 20 years.
Yeah.
25 years. They've got.
I mean, Lamar carved them up.
They've got some issues, no question about it. But this is a Bills team whose Achilles heel is whether the team's a good team or bad team, is giving them so many opportunities they hang in there and sometimes lose a game because of it. So, and this is a team in New England. There may be no team in the league who knows the Buffalo Bills as well as the Bills do than this New England team. They know the Bills as well as the Bills know themselves. That's the way they operate over there. And it's the same way with other teams too. The Patriots have that way about them. They dissect their opponent really well. Mm. And That's why this game goes south on you if it does. They use you against yourself. They let your mistakes manifest themselves and multiply, and then it you know, the harder you play sometimes, the worse it gets for you against the Patriots.
We got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to let you listen in to Jordan Poyer as he addressed the media this week, get his thoughts on the defense getting healthier and the plan for the Patriots on Thursday night. Jordan Poyer coming your way next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, here we are back on One Bills Live, and as promised, here is Jordan Poyer addressing the media in advance of their matchup with the Patriots as they begin a three-week stretch of division play.
I guess just generally, how are you feeling? We haven't really got to hear from you.
Yeah, I feel good. Obviously, big week. Thursday night football game on the road, division rival. We're excited to play.
What was it like to get Trey back out there? Even
it was awesome. It was awesome. Like you said, just a couple plays, his presence out there alone. I think I said it after the game, it just lifts everybody else up. You know, he brings a lot of energy, and we're excited to have him keep having him back out there.
Jordan, how do you guys approach these next couple games? You always have been very adamant division games mean a little bit more. Now you got three of them in a row.
Yeah, you know, we just got to look at it one game at a time. You know, we got this one and, you know, take care of the rest, you know, when it comes about. But obviously big division rival game this week. And like I said, we're excited to play on the road, New England. This is what NFL football is about.
When you get into their tape a little bit, obviously Ramondre, Harris, they're really, really good. But what do they offer in the passing game? Because it seems like Mac has really started to play well over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they got some playmakers over there. Some guys, obviously Aguilar, Parker, guys that can take the ball down the field and make catches. You know, 16 in the slot, he's able to, you know, make some really nice contested catches, and Max is able to distribute the ball. You know, you got going into games like this, any game really, you got to be able to stop the run. And so, you know, we're going to come in with a mindset we got to be able to stop the run in order to affect the quarterback.
When you face a team so regularly like this one, what's the balance between relying on what you know and what you've seen for so many times and then just looking at what you've seen maybe on film this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally new season, new year. What's happened in the past really doesn't matter. We know that they're gonna be hungry to beat us, and we're gonna have to play well to win. It's a good football team, and they're playing well, and you know, we're gonna have to play well to win.
How much is that dynamic real? Like, you know, we always talk about this narrative of the hunted becoming the hunter, and now you guys are, you know, somebody that every team gets up to play. Have you felt any of that this season, or?
Not really. We understand, you know, going into each game, we're going to get everybody's best, and that's what we want.
Division games are important whenever they fall on the calendar. But when they fall in the month of December, does it kind of up the stakes a little bit, knowing how big they are for playoffs?
Yeah, you know, I think you rolling into late November, December, you know, games obviously start to mean a lot more. And you know, that's it's almost like playoff season, you know. You know, one game at a time, big, huge division rival game, and you know, like I said, we're going to play well to win.
You guys always preach next opponent is the biggest opponent. I know the dynamic between you two teams has changed over the years, but is there any extra juice still knowing that it's Patriots week?
You like stirring stuff up, don't you, huh? It's, I mean, each week is, like I said, each week is a you're excited to play the game, you know, and obviously a division rival, we're excited to play any division rival. It's a team that we've seen a lot. They've seen us. So, like I said, we're going to have to play well to win.
When you guys lose a guy like Von Miller, how do you guys rally collectively as a defense to kind of replace him? And
yeah, it's tough to replace a guy like Von Miller. Not anybody on this planet can replace a guy like Von Miller. But, you know, just his presence in the meeting rooms and his leadership, you know, goes a long way. And it's came a long way to this point right now. But, you know, other guys are going to have to step up. You know, I'm going to have to step up. And it's, you know, it's tough losing a guy like Vaughn. That's the business. That's the nature of the business we're in.
All right, so that's Jordan Poyer trying to downplay the significance of the game. The media was trying as they might to, you know, get him to say, oh, it's a giant one. We know we got to have it, blah, blah, blah. Look, they know it's important, and they know they need it because they're 0-2 in the division. And that's first and foremost. People can talk about the number one seed in the AFC and getting a playoff bye and all that jazz. That doesn't even factor into the equation unless you take care of your division first. Because if you don't take care of your division, the best you can do is the 5 seed, which is a wild card. So Take care of your division. They know the importance. They know the importance.
And his home playoff games, an easier path to advance in the playoffs. Then you don't know what else could happen. Last year, don't forget, the Bills had an opportunity. In that situation, they were the 3 seed last year. They had an opportunity at the end of it, except for the 13-second game, hosting the AFC Championship in Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's what would have happened. That's the opportunity that was, you know, lost last year by that game. So they all count so much in this league. This one as much as like the others, but this one, golly, this is huge, because this one gets them back into the conversation with the other teams playing the opponents they're playing. The Bills could go from the 5 seed to the 1 seed with a win, and then everything else happening.
Right, and we've seen it already.
We've seen
turn topsy-turvy in the last 3 weeks. Bills went from the 1 seed to the 2 seed to the 5 seed after losing to the Jets. Back to the 2 seed for a couple of days this past week before Miami won again on Sunday and reclaimed the top spot in the division. So, and I think it's going to continue to be topsy-turvy the rest of the way here with all these division games coming up. Let's go to the tweet sheet, as we've been asking you today. Which returning player will have the biggest impact against the Patriots? Tweet sheet, as always, brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. And we hear from Brian first, who says it's got to be Edmonds. We're getting killed over the middle with him being out. I honestly have a brand new appreciation for him now. Is it crazy how much the worm has turned on the general consensus opinion of one Tremaine Edmonds? You and I would be in here last year trying to defend the guy.
We were the cavalry defending that
now
guy.
Now it's just like, wow, Tremaine Edmonds. What, we're dying without him.
You're right. He has, and I'll say this too, he's playing way better too. I mean, he's playing better, I think, than we've seen him play in a long time.
Yeah.
But he's also, I think, come into his own. I think a little bit of it has to do with this, the fact that guy's now, he's 25 now. He's a secure veteran who knows what he's doing. The defense is playing better around him, no doubt either, at least the front four. And I think because of that, he's getting a chance to do some things now that are becoming more and more repetitive for him. Nothing is new anymore for him.
Yeah.
I think he's being able to play a little bit freer. And you're seeing a lot of times where, man, oh, man, the guy is – his presence just makes a difference. And, yeah, and you're right, Brownie, the public sentiment over him and his career has done a 180.
Yeah, and probably at the most important time in his career, because his contract's up after this season on the 50-year option.
Right.
And, you know, now there's a decision that has to be made. And so I think he's proved his value to this team. And so, you know, I think they're going to do their best to get him signed long-term, especially when you consider the fact it's a guy that's only 25 years old. He's just entering his prime. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Crazy to think he's 25, and it seems like he's been here forever. Zach on the tweet sheet says, Morse, the O-line is completely different when he's not in the game.
There's something to be said for that. You got to be on it this week, particularly with Matt Judon on the other side of the ball. He's a little bit, I think at this point, he is the Aaron Donald of what the Patriots are doing, although he plays end, not tackle. Morse is going to make sure everybody's got, at least they get a hat on a hat. And, you know, if the thing that the Patriots can do is they, and we've all seen it, where they stand up and they mill around the line like a herd of cattle, and then they don't tell you, nobody puts their hand on the ground until after, and even after the ball is snapped. And it's hard to discern who's rushing and who's not. Now, certainly you have defensive linemen, defensive tackles and all that. But getting a hat on a hat and knowing when they rush four, you're going to have somebody on all four of those guys is huge, even when they're up there milling around like that. So Mitch Morse certainly can make a huge difference in that. Getting the pass protection sorted out is on the center and the quarterback to some extent, no question. But the center is an enormous cog in that. And Mitch Morris, they would miss him if he wasn't able to play.
Yeah. Jim on the tweet sheet actually takes it a step further. He says, for me, it's Morris. Josh doesn't play well without him. Okay. That's a pretty strong statement. I mean, I'm sure if you asked Josh, he'd say, of course, I'd rather have Mitch with me than not. I mean, I think that would go without saying. But to definitively say that he's, you know, better with, like, he's worse without, like, I don't know, like, doesn't play well without him at all, that seems a bit strong. Yeah. I don't know. And, you know, Morris is looking good to come back, too. He practiced fully yesterday. Hopefully that's the case today when we get the injury report here shortly. And, you know, yeah, the line will be better for it, especially on a week where it's unlikely they're going to have Deion Dawkins. So, yeah, you hope that is the case. Ethan on the tweet sheet says, Tremaine Edmonds for sure. He will be pivotal in stopping Ramondre Stevenson and Pierre Strong Jr. in the run game. So there's that.
Yeah. The Patriots need to run it to play well offensively. They need to run it, in my opinion.
Yeah. Ethan said Tremaine Edmonds. Let's see. Jeremy says Mitch Morse. Trey will be fine against a QB to the likes of Mac Jones, so I'd rather have the guy that touches the ball every single play, just like the QB, be the incumbent to return. Deborah says, I think number 49 will have a large impact because he scares the quarterbacks and he's very good in the middle of the field. Good point, Deborah. We talked about that. And then finally, Mark, I was waiting for this.
Yeah.
Rousseau needs to be that guy. With Vaughn out, we need our former first-rounder to step up and show out. I was waiting to see how long it's going to take before we got a Rousseau vote.
I'll say this, too, not for nothing. When Rousseau gets back in there, he's going to be fresh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a little bit like
three games.
Yeah, it's been a month off for him from playing. Now, certainly he hasn't been sitting around, you know, with his feet up. But it will feel good for him to be out on the field. It's going to I could say Rousseau could be the guy with the most opportunity to make a difference in this game.
We have to take a break here. One more segment to go on a Tuesday. It's Chris Brown and Steve Tasker with you on One Bills Live. We're back in a few minutes. Hey, Bills fans, visit buffalobills.com/SBSweeps and enter for a chance to win two tickets to Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, Arizona. One winner will win two tickets, airfare, and lodging to attend the Super Bowl. Some final thoughts on the tweet sheet here as we've been asking you which returning player will have the biggest impact against the Pats on Thursday night. And we're down to B. Hicks, who says, huge return by all three. Vaughn is down. You need Rousseau. Mitch is huge on the O-line, and Edmonds has proven by his absence how valuable in run and coverage defense he is. The injury report has just come out here, and the final game status will not be until tomorrow. But essentially what you have today, Josh Allen, again, a full-time participant, Deion Dawkins, a DNP, along with Stephon Diggs, don't worry, veteran rest day there. But Tremaine Edmonds, A.J. Epinesa, Damar Hamlin, Dane Jackson, Jaquan Johnson, all full participants. Tywan Jones gets a rest day. And then Von Miller and Quentin Morris with the illness, still the only DNPs left. Khalil Shakir, Greg Rousseau, Jordan Phillips, Mitch Morris, all full-time participants as well. So things are looking up on the injury front going forward here, and you hope we're kind of coming out of the woods here a little bit, and the injury list is getting shorter.
We've said that a couple of times this season, and we've been thrown back into the bushes. So, so we'll see.
Yeah. I am out tomorrow as I'll be traveling to New England. Maddie will be in here with Steve when we have ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese on, and then I'll be back on game day from New England. They'll see you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.